We are studying about prayer, the doctrine and the privilege of prayer. Prayer is one of the greatest privileges that God ever gave us. Now, I want you to think about your life. How old were you the first time that you ever really prayed to God?
Are you asking me?
Everybody.
Oh.
Yeah. How old were you when you first started praying to God?
I was 18 years old.
18 years
and
old.
And I taught myself.
You were 18 years old and you taught yourself to pray from the Bible.
From the Bible.
Yeah. Well, yeah, my grandmother taught me how to pray from the time I was born, I think. And she would sit down by the bed at night time and she'd say, "The Lord I pray my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, that you'll keep my soul," or something like that. And I would always say at the end of it, "Lay me in. Lay me in." I thought "lay me in" was amen. That's the only thing I would say, is she would pray, and then I would say, "Lay me in." Now, little children are very wonderful to see them pray. It is a delight to watch little children and old people pray. It is a cry for help. I remember I prayed with my sons. And I pray that they remember that. And I pray my daughter remembers me praying with her and her praying with me. Little children sometimes are real prayer warriors, or just really prayer warriors when they're young. Dakota would pray, even though all the terrible things were happening to her. It was horrible. She tried to get help from everybody, but the situation there with the evil in high places was just unbelievable. She told her nurses, her doctors, her teachers, anybody that would listen to what was happening to her. And they kept on pushing it away. It doesn't happen, didn't happen, didn't happen. Psychologists, everybody, she told them. But I'm going to tell you something. When she lay there at nighttime and pray, that little girl would lay there in bed. She was about that long. She could talk before she was 2 years old. She just talked blue streak. Perfect language. And I'd sit there at nighttime. I'd pray with her. And then she'd say, "Dad, I want to pray. My turn. I'm going to pray, Dad." And she'd look up at God and she said, "Father, God, Jesus, I need your help. You know those people over there?" And she'd point and says like this, "They're doing really bad things to me." And she'd just go on and tell God everything. But it so damaged her, because nobody would help except her dad, that she finally just shut up. I don't know whether she'll ever get over it. I hope she never shut up to God when asking God for help. But I never saw her eyes wide open and just looking up and talking to Jesus and talking to God and telling him everything in her life that she needs. And one of the little things that I brought into her life that helped her a lot, better than any psychology, I think, was a little horse called Peanut. A little Shetland horse about that tall. Dakota would go out there and she'd talk to that little horse and she'd pray with that horse. Pray. She said, "Peanut, now let's pray." And she'd pray to God and that little horse and everything like that. And she'd lay down between that horse's feet and go to sleep. You remember that, Marilyn? Out on her backyard, in the lawn, just treating that horse. That horse was the best babysitter she ever had in her life. But she talked to God, and she told her friends how to pray, and would tell them about church history. And that little rascal When she was 2 years old, she could write Greek and some Hebrew. She'd get her piece of paper down there and just write on it. There's a piece of paper laying right over there on the couch in our recording room there that she wrote on. I was looking at it a while ago. But she'd write the Greek and Hebrew, everything. She'd copy it off the board as I was writing. And to listen to her pray and other little children is absolutely marvelous. Now we're going to go on some deep, deep study right now. Now we're going to go into Hebrew words for prayer and Greek words for prayer. Now Sharon asked for this class to be taught, these classes to be taught. She said, I have a request. And so her request is my command. And everyone else out there, people from Europe, Africa, wherever else, they'll say, Dr. Jim, can you teach on this? And I do, best I can. I've got a request that I'm still working on from Steve and Kathy Caldwell. And I will get around to that one also. Now, I didn't write all these words in Hebrew on the board there because it's too much. I don't have big enough board. And for you to read it, if I wrote it small enough, you couldn't see it. Now, there are words, there are 11 words for prayer in Hebrew that I wrote down. 11 words. One of them is Anah. And that is like, help, help, I beg, please. And that is an interjection from Hebrew. Anah, help, help. I need your help. Another one is on. And that one is please. Please. On means please. The first one, Genesis 50 and verse 17, that interjection there. And then Genesis 12 and 13 and 18 and verse 4 and Judges 9 and 38 where it says on. And that means please or I beg you. And we've prayed prayers like that, haven't we? Please, I beg you. And here's another one. Chana. Chana. And that one means to be gracious. It means to please show favor and grace upon me. 2 Chronicles 6 and verse 37. Then we have another word. Palal or Palal. P-A-L-A-L. That means to cause for another to intervene or arbitrate. The Greek equivalent is prosukamai in Greek. It is an objective idea of prayer. It's pleading and asking someone else to be your intercessor, to take your words up higher. Sometimes in real life, we have a lawyer make out a will for us. We have lawyers intercede for us in court. We have commissions out there. Right now, I'm going through the Nevada Manufactured Home Builders against Clayton Homes and the facade of a subcontractor that they have. There, and I'm asking that group, and two or three groups actually, to do something about it along with the Sheriff's Department for the criminal activities that was caused. But this word palal means somebody help me. Help me. Somebody arbitrate for me. To take it up with a higher cause. In Job, there's a word there, atar. Atar, which means to entreat in Job 22:27 and 33 and verse 86. Atar. Then we have another word in Hebrew, paga. Paga. And that means to meet, to want an audience for mercy. To want an audience for mercy. Job 21 verse 15. To supplicate, to beg for a personal audience and mercy. Then we come to another Hebrew word, lachash, lachos. And that means to whisper. To whisper a secret. To be sorrowful. To sigh. To appease in misery. To hold on to grasp. Just beg with your last word and at last breath. Isaiah 26 and verse 16. And then we have the word Sha'ol. Sha'ol. And Sha'ol is the place called Sheol, is the place called Hades. And it's the place ask about. Hades is the place ask about. And the word Sha'ol here, it means to ask and petition God. To ask and petition God for something. Psalm 122 and verse 6. Shikath. The Hebrew word shikath. It means to meditate and concentrate. To logically, or to lodge a complaint logically. Lord, I have a problem here. That reminds me of the words of Dakota. Jesus, those guys are bad. Get them. Basically what she used to say. To meditate and to concentrate and to lodge a prayer from our hearts. Job 15 and verse 4 and Psalm 55, 17 and on Psalm 64 and verse 1. Salah. Salah means to request. It means to request. To lodge a request. Daniel 6 and verse 11. Viyah. In Daniel 9:13, it means to seek. To seek the presence of or the face of a person. It means, Lord, I need to see your face. Lord, I need to see your face. I need your presence here. Please come to my help. Come to my need. Then we have seven more words in the New Testament for prayer.
Is this in Hebrew?
No, this is Greek in the New Testament.
Okay.
Seven more words in the New Testament for prayer. One of them is eukamai. And that means to speak out or utter out or to pray or wish aloud. And it means to strongly bend the knee, eukamai. 2 John 2 and 2 Corinthians 13 and 7 comes from UK. And then we have proshukamai, which means to fall down and bend the knee toward, the idea of being in a prostrate posture and looking upon God as a mighty one. It means to show devotion. 1 Timothy 2 and 1, Matthew 5:44. Mark 1:35. Then we have arotao. Arotao. Arotao, when you say to God sometimes, why, Lord, why? Why are you not doing something? Why? That's arotao. That means to interrogate and to ask. Christ prayed to the Father in John the 14th chapter, in the 16th chapter, 14, 16, 16, 26, 17, 9, and 15 and 20. I have need. That's a rotao. Jesus prayed and asked the Father, if this cup can pass from me, let it be, but not my will, but yours. Itio. It means to send a request. Itio. It means to be submissive, but asking God to be submissive. Submissive to His Word. Lord, You promised me. John 11, verse 22. The word diomai also is another word, number 5. And that one's closely related to the Hebrew word. And it means to concentrate, to meditate, to need, to want, desperately. Desperately. It comes from diomai, and it means to beseech and to beg and say, it's bindingly necessary, Lord. This is life and death. I beseech you. It means to bind your mind to God. Luke 10 and verse 2, Matthew 9 and verse 38. Parakaleo, parakaleo. It means to call beside. It means to call beside. That you want God to be beside you. And God promised that His Holy Spirit would be our comforter, our parakalite, and that's what this word comes from, parakaleo. Acts 24, 4, 27, 34, Matthew 26, 53. It means to get near and whisper something in God's ear, Lord, I need you near me. And then to whisper in His ear and say, I need you. Parakaleo. I need your help. Then we have the word intuix. In 1 Timothy 2 and 1, and that means to confide. That means to ask the presence of. That means to fall in with. Lord, I need you to fall in with me on this deal. I need your intercession. I need you to be here. I need your presence right now. I need you here. I need your help. Intuit, say, help! You know, there's all kinds of different postures of prayer in the church. Most of the time that I saw Dakota pray, she was laying flat on her back looking up to God with her eyes wide open. Now, I pray going down the road, don't I, Marilyn? You don't want me to close my eyes, do you? No. All right, so when I'm going down the road, I close my eyes. Sometimes I close my eyes when I'm praying. Sometimes I look up to God. Sometimes I'm flat on my back. Sometimes on my face. Sometimes I'm sliding down the hill yesterday when I fell flat. We pray to God in whatever position we are. But most people say, if you really want to get serious with God, get down on your knees and pray. Yeah, you can pray on your knees. You can pray standing. You can pray with your eyes looking to heaven. You can pray with your eyes closed. You can pray looking down. All of these are scriptural prayers. You can lay flat on your face and you can pray. Jesus knelt down to pray. Paul knelt down to pray. James knelt down to pray. Some people fell on their faces. Joshua fell on his face. Jesus fell on his face and prayed. All of these are different positions in prayer. But one thing is common with all of them. You're seeking the presence of God. You're seeking the presence of God. All these words that we have here. Prayer refreshes us. In Luke, the 18th chapter, we have the Pharisee and the tax collector. One man prayed there that his prayers didn't get any more. I have seen people praying the rosary over and over again with tears going down their face and the prayer didn't get anywhere. You weren't praying to the right God. They were praying to Mary, not to God. People will pray for Muhammad to be their intercessor. And every time they speak His name, they say, peace be upon Him. Peace be upon Him. His name is so holy that they say, peace be upon Him. Peace be upon Him. The Catholics asked for Mary to save them. The Jehovah Witnesses look for their good works and they're going out and trying to bring in the Jehovah Witness kingdom to get them to the kingdom. The Mormons just say, move over, here I come, I'm a God too. Their prayer's not going to get there. We have many false religions where people get down and they mumbo-jumbo it with their little prayer wheel turning in the Buddhist religion. We have people in the charismatic movement go into an ecstasy of talking in tongues, talking to God, so-called. That is not of God. Simple as that. God wants to hear your words. He knows you, whatever language you speak in. Muhammad says that you have to pray in pure Arabic. And there is no such thing as pure Arabic, by the way. Every Muslim that prays has got to pray in Arabic. What they do is recite the Quran in Arabic. Well, they don't know what it's saying or not. Those prayers don't get to heaven. The only prayers that get to heaven is if you've asked the Lord Jesus Christ to save your soul for what He did. And you ask the Father to forgive you. It says in Romans, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you shall be saved. Do that. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, and then you have the right to pray to God. The mumbo jumbo of the Hail Marys and all of that is not going to get you any place. But when you say, in Jesus' name, believing in your heart that God gave Him, sent His Son into the world to die for you, and that He died on the cross and that He was buried in the grave and rose again, He's not a dead God, He's a living God. Jesus Christ is not on that crucifix up there forever being crucified. He's not forever being turned into a wafer. But He is in heaven waiting for you one of these days. Father, we thank You for Your messages on prayer from Your Word. Please use them. Please touch hearts with it. Please save souls. And I pray, Father, that Your Spirit will graciously go with these words wherever they go in the world. And please forgive me where I fail You.